Noon. Good day of rest, because tomorrow begins another week, right? Tomorrow begins another week. But so enjoy the time you have left tonight with your family. Just remind you, kind of what I said this morning with Brother Chibi coming. Basically, he's with me not stepping down, but moving aside, moving over to a different position. Basically, that leaves a position open. That means pastoring here, and so we need to fill that spot. And Chibi is a candidate that I'd like to try in first. And if that doesn't work, we'll go a different route. But we need to fill that position so that if not, because I'll continue to do that, but we need to do that and progress forward with that. So if you have any questions about that, make sure you come up and ask me, and I will try to answer the questions that I can for that. But be in prayer for that, if you would. Just be in prayer for that. Again, he is coming in March the 6th, I believe, on that Sunday morning. And so he'll be here to preach and meet you guys. And then on Monday night, he'll be with the staff sharing some things there, and we'll be sharing some Q&A there and just trying to see if he would be a good fit for here. So we're going to process that. So, but it's good to be here tonight. We're going to look at some things tonight. We need to look at a couple of things tonight. So if you have your Bibles, look to Luke chapter 11. We're going to open up here in prayer, and then we're going to begin. So Father, Lord, we love you tonight. We want to say thank you for just empowering us with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, to those tonight, Lord, you know each person is here tonight. We pray, Father, for each one that's here tonight, that is here in this building, Lord, that you'd give them a blessing, give them eyes to see and ears to hear what you would have for them, that they may grow in their walk with you, grow as a Christian, and be that person that they need to be here, Lord, to fulfill their destiny that you've laid out for them. For it's in Christ's name, amen. You know, God has a destiny for you. You have a legacy to leave. Hopefully, because if Jesus continues to tarry and God, you know, continues to wait and all that, when you pass away, you have a legacy to leave. And hopefully that your children, as you go, they will know that you were a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as a follower, and you will have that example behind you. And then it's up to them to decide if they want to follow into that. But you can leave a legacy that continues to go. But I want to share with you that you are a very powerful person because of what Christ is and who he is in you, but you just don't, we have a hard time experiencing it because we don't want to believe it. But, some of you see me bring my black rock up here, and some of you know exactly what my black rock means. My black rock represents sin. And so tonight, well, I'll just share with this. So if I have this, and this is my, this is sin to me, and I want to ask. We talked about this morning. If I want to ask for forgiveness for sin, I will talk to Christ, and I will say, Lord, forgive me of this sin. I want to lay it down. I want to give it to Him. He forgives me. I can walk away. It's not mine no more. But if I keep bringing it up, You know what? I didn't really lay it down. I let it down for a minute. I want to pick it back up because I want to talk about it again. Because not that I want to talk to Him about it, but I want to keep bringing it up because I'm not really asked for forgiveness from it. So it's mine, so everywhere I go. I know some of y'all know that Superman's coming out to fight Batman. I mean, that whole big deal there. My question is, how in the world is Batman going to fight Superman? I didn't understand it. One of my sons said, did you know that Batman has a kryptonite belt? And I said, I didn't know that. He has a kryptonite belt. So that, you know what? Kryptonite makes Superman weak, right? Sin makes you weak, right? Sin makes you weak. So every time we as Christians, we have sin in our life, we become weak. We are not strong in the Lord. We are not strong in the power of the Holy Spirit. But we are weak. So the kryptonite to Superman makes him weak. Sin to a Christian makes us weak. We can't fly. We can't lift things. We can't do things. Because I'm telling you, the Bible says if you have faith, you can move mountains. Whoa, really? You don't believe it, though. You read it, but you don't believe it. Most of you don't believe it because of the mess that you're in. You're thinking God can't handle it. No, God can handle it. You just keep picking it back up. That's how stupid we are. We just keep picking it back up. I'm telling you, we're not that smart. I'm like, man, Lord, we are supposed to be the smartest being, smartest creation on the world, and we still blow it all the time. We just keep like gravitating to it like a magnet. And because you know what, we know it's going to hurt us. It's like a mouse keep going to the mouse trap, trying to get that peanut butter. That's what my wife tells me to put on her peanut butter instead of whatever else, cheese, but peanut butter. And the thing is, they keep doing it. We do the same thing. We go in there and think we're going to get it, and we're going to get away with it. No, you have not gotten away with one sin in your life. God knows, and He sees it. And we keep gravitating toward it, don't we? We keep gravitating toward it. And this is why some of us have no power in our walk with the Lord. Because we're too busy over on this side in our life, in the flesh. over. We're on the flesh. Just to make it, let me make it politically right. We'll put it on the left. How's that? Politically right. It's on my left now, right? All right. I know all you politics, people in politics know that that's the right. That's the left is this side, right? God wants us over on the right side. But when we keep messing with sin, we can't get over there. So we got to give it away. But it's not going to go away until you ask Christ to forgive you. Amen? Am I in the house tonight? Amen? It's my sin. I did it. I said it. I committed it. It's my crime before the Lord. Now the world may not see that it's a crime. Sleeping with another woman, sleeping with another man, doing this, doing that. The world says whatever. But God says, no, not if you're mine. And not even if you're not his, you still commit the sin. But if you're his, he wants you to get over there and start living that life that is right. But if we don't get rid of it, we have this sin. We got to get rid of it. So we can fly like Superman again. So we can fly and do great things and lift things and move mountains with our faith. Because if you're over here, your faith is not working. If you're over here and you have sin in your life, you have the unrighteous stuff that we were talking about, that ungodly living, the way the world morals instead of godly morals, we're not going to be strong in the Lord and doing anything. You may look like you serve the church, it may look like you attend the church, but you're not getting anything done that counts for the Lord. Did you just hear what I said? It may count to the church, it may count to me, but if it don't count to the Lord, it don't matter. Because that's what counts. If it counts to him, amen? Right, Phil? If it counts to him, that's what matters. But if it doesn't count to him, it counts to everybody else. We're only putting a facade, and it's a fake. And it'll mean nothing. Because God doesn't want us doing things over here. When we're on this side in our life, we're in the flesh, we got to seek forgiveness so we can pick it up, leave it there, say, Lord, forgive me my sin, and walk away. That's what he said. Walk away. Start getting on this side of my life. Start getting into the Spirit. Start being able to live as a Christian should live with the joy, right? The joy of your salvation, the joy of forgiveness, all the things that now I got some power in my life. And that power not comes from me. It comes from an antidote, probably in some sense, saying that I'm trying to live faithful. I've got that junk over there. I'm over here now. Now I can experience the power of the Holy Spirit working, and I can hear the Holy Spirit not convicting me of my sins over here, but now saying, hey, now it's time to get some things done. Now it's time to be able to live life to the full abundance. We'll be able to do those things. Now, what I want to look at tonight is I want to talk about when we get there, here we go, Luke chapter 11. I want to talk about asking, searching, and knocking. Three things. It doesn't work over here unless you're asking for forgiveness and you're working on that, because we want to ask for things when we're over here. Lord, be with my wife, be with my husband, help my kids. Oh my gosh, my kids really messed up. Lord, help them. But when we get sin in our life, there's no power in your prayer. There's no power in your prayer life until you seek God and ask him for forgiveness. Amen? We're like Superman. We're trying to lift the buildings. We're trying to lift things in the faith. And you have no strength in your faith. You have no strength when you have sin in your life. You have no strength as a Christian when you have sin reigning in your life. Kryptonite is before you. But what you've done is you've come to Christ. You said, Lord, let me get this junk out. I can't do it on my own, but I'm going to confess it to you. And he says, I will forgive you and cast as far as the east from the west. To remember it no more. It's gone. Now I'm over here. Woo, I got that done. Doesn't that feel good when you just ask for forgiveness? And you know it. And it's like, man, God, forgive me that. I feel good. I'm ready to go. That sin is over there. And I'm over here. Man, I don't want to go back. But, oh, what happens? Whew. The old devil whispers in her ear. Says, oh, that's a good thing to do. Oh, we need to stop. We're starting to get pulled. Nope. I can do all things in Christ. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Oh, I'm starting to get stronger again. I don't have to go over there. I might get tempted to go over there. I don't have to go over there. So there's this battle going on. And then we finally go, I'm done with it. Whoa, I'm done with it. I don't want to play with that no more. I know when I get over there, I get burnt. I'm weak, but I want to live a life that's powerful. I want to live a life that has meaning in it. I want to live out the destiny that God has given to me. I want to be the best man and the best woman. Whoever you are, you should want to live the best life that you can for Christ. You got one go with this thing called life. One go. You got one start and you got one ending. And it's what you do on your lap. So today I watched NASCAR. I love NASCAR, especially when the competition, all that stuff. Man, it was by a hair that Denny won today. Woo, I like him. One of my favorites. But there were some people in there that I was like, oh, no, not them. I don't want them to win. But I see them. They were winning. They were all there to win a race. There was a start and there was a finish. You know, the thing is, most of the things that you see on TV, it's almost like there's only really two different, everything's a game except for like two, I think. You might come up with another. I think bull riding is a sport and NASCAR is a sport. Everything else is kind of like a game. Everything has it's all by points and all that kind of stuff. But what I see here is like these guys in NASCAR, they just race and race and race because they want to finish. They want to win. That's the way we should be as Christians. We should want to win. Win in life. Be the best man that you could possibly be for Jesus Christ. You got one chance. After you finish the first lap, you can't go back. The first lap is over. I'm going to turn 50 years old. I don't know if y'all know that, but in April, I'm going to turn 50 years old. All else, 40-year-olds, I know some of y'all just a little bit older than me. Some of you a lot younger than me. But let me tell you something. I cannot get my 10, 20s, 30s, and 40s back. I'm getting ready to close the door on my 40s, and once it's closed, it's over. That is over with. Some of you are in your 50s, and you're like, you're creeping up on 60, and you're like, oh, you know. So 60's going to be there, and you're like, I want to shut the door's going to shut. You know what it is? You're getting closer to finishing the race. Now, don't you want to be right with God? Because who's standing at the finish line? God is. Whether he's going to be your judge, as a judge that you don't want to stand in front of him, as a judge that way that you have all your sins and all your junk, as a lost person, or are you going to stand there and he's going to be your Lord and Savior and he's going to be at the end of at the finish line, rooting for you, waiting for you to cross that line. And you want to be able to cross that line running the best and have ran the best that you can with the power that's inside of you that he gave you. There's a race to run. There's a destiny. Your destiny is to finish and to finish well. Amen? To finish well, whatever it is. But there's some things that happen in our life so that we don't go over there. We need some, I got some things in my life I need some answers to. I got some doors that need to be opened. I got some doors that might need to be shut. I got some things that I'm kind of searching out. I don't know really always the answer, the right road, the right avenue to them, how to turn the page, where to find it in the Bible, where to do all these things. So there's a lot of things between A and Z that I'm trying to figure out. And God says, I got an answer for you for that. But if we're over here, we can't hear any of that. So let's get away from that sin junk, okay? Let's get over here on the right side of living for God. This is what he says. He says in verse 9, I got home tonight, in verse 9 of chapter 11 of Luke, Jesus says this, so I say to you, you know when Jesus says, I say to you, he says this, I say to you. He's pointing at you. He said, I say to you, you keep on asking, and it will be given to you. He said, he doesn't want you to stop asking if it's in with the power of the Holy Spirit, it's inside of you, it's part of your life. We don't need it. He says, don't stop asking. Don't give up after praying about it one time. This is not a one-lap race. This is not a real quick race, okay? This is not a 50-yard dash. This is a marathon. This is what our life is like, a marathon race. So this is not just a real quick a sprint, okay? He says this, so I say to you, keep on asking. God says, Jesus says, keep on asking. Okay? You notice when we're over in sin, we don't talk to the Lord much? We don't. When we leave it over there and we ask Jesus to forgive us and we get that forgiveness and we walk over here, we get the joy of walking in the Lord again. And so we get that, man, I just want to ask the Father. I want to ask the Father some things. And it may be some things that are for other people. Maybe it's something that's going on in your life. Maybe it's some needs that you have in your life. But he says, keep on asking. And he says, it will be given to you. Now, I'm not preaching prosperity tonight. I'm just preaching the word here tonight. He says, it'll be given to you. If it equals up to God's will, will you be praying God's will over it? And God's going to answer that. It may not be exactly how you see it. It may not be turn out the exact way that you want to receive it or that other person needs to receive it. Sometimes we pray when someone is dying. And sometimes somebody is 75 years old and they got health issues and people are praying for them to continue to live. That's a pretty long life in my opinion, 75. Maybe when I get 75, if I make it there, that's not going to seem too long, but I think that's a pretty good long life, 75, 80. 85? And if they know the Lord, and God's will says, I want them home, and we're praying for him to stay here, and God allows them to pass away and bring them, we should be able to say, you know what? We want them to stay, but praise the Lord, right? They knew the Lord, praise the Lord, right? We get a little more frantic when they don't know the Lord, but we need to celebrate when people pass on and go to see Jesus, amen? Paul said, man, I'm conflicted. I want to stay for your benefit, but I want to go. I'm going to be with Jesus. And so there's that peace there. But he says this, don't stop asking. You know why he tells us not to stop asking? Because the first thing is we always communicate with Jesus when we need something more than we do anything else. We begin to talk to Jesus more when we need something than any other time in our life, most of the time. And sometimes I think sometimes it's like, wow, we're actually talking. We're actually having a conversation. And if it's beginning with asking, God has so much grace and mercy. You notice sometimes, you that are parents, sometimes your kids don't talk to you much until they want something. And you want to linger it on. And you want to toy it on a little bit because you're having a conversation with them. You're just not giving them that yes or no. Sometimes you want that conversation to continue to go on. So he says, keep on asking. He says, it'll be given to you. We need to trust him that he'll give it to us in the way that it should be given to us. Amen? Amen? And so I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop asking. I'm not going to stop asking. Why am I not going to stop asking? Because Jesus told us not to stop. He told us to keep on asking. He says, I say to you, keep on asking. Keep on asking. He says, it'll be given to you. You're not wasting your time. If you're praying for something for 2 or 3 years, 5 years, you're not wasting your time. If you know that that's a part of your heart, you know that's a part of your spirit, you keep praying for that. Okay? Number two, he says this. When you keep on asking, it'll be given to you, but he also says, keep searching. He says, you will find so he tells us to keep searching. You know why Jesus like says keep on searching? Because if we keep searching, we're going to be turning in the scriptures. That's always good for us, amen? Turning in the scriptures, reading God's word is food for the soul, it's food for the spirit. And then we keep searching, and we keep asking, we keep looking for the things of God, we keep looking for the answers that we need to have fulfilled in our life. We need to look for those bridges and those doors, all those things that are part of ourselves. When we're not sure if God's called us to something, we need to keep searching it out. Turn every stone over until you get a no or until you get a yes. You don't linger in the fog forever, okay? God's not going to leave you in the fog forever. He may leave you there a little while. Why does he leave you there? So you can learn to lean on him, and he's going to test you with your faith. As also, that we will learn to keep on doing it, be proactive, that we're going to keep asking, and we're going to keep searching. How many of y'all are searching for something right now in your life? Anybody? Anybody doing some asking right now in your life? Yeah, you don't stop. You keep doing it. And in the meantime, what do? You stay faithful to him. You stay faithful to him in worship. You stay faithful to him in your prayer life. You stay faithful to him in the righteous-like living. You stay faithful to him and stay away from that sin. When you do sin, be like, we should become quick to repent, not just with our lips, but with our heart. We should be faithful in our giving. We should be faithful in everything while we're still asking and while we're still searching, all right? So he says, even when we search, he says, and you will find. It may not always be exactly what you think that you need to find, but it will be revealed to you. The Holy Spirit will show you, speak to you, reveal it to you in a way that God wants you to know that, yes, there it is. You were searching and you found it. And it may not be exactly what you're looking for, or it may not come the exact way, because like I said before, we're just not that smart, all right? We're just not that smart, okay? All right, and what else does he say? He says, now, he says, I want you to keep knocking, and the door will be open to you. That's the aggressiveness part. You ever had somebody knock at your door, and you're like, man, I don't want them to know I'm here. I can't believe they're knocking on the door. It happens at our house at least a couple of times every summer and fall. Oh, here comes a couple of kids wanting to sell something. And these kids are ruthless. They will just stand at the door. And I'm just like, okay, yeah. What do? You answer the door. I've learned you just answer the door because they're not going away anyway. Because what happens is if you were able to, if you helped one kid down the road, it gets out. You buy a subscription to something, it gets out. They know everybody. And they go, that house over there, they helped me. This house over there, they helped me. That's kind of like the way it is with the Lord. He says, I want you to keep on knocking. Don't give up. I want you to keep on knocking. Have you ever went to a house? If you go into my house and I'm there, I'm going to answer the door pretty quickly. The door is usually unlocked. But did you know if you go to an elderly person's house, that door is usually locked? I mean, deadbolt, chain, key lock. Everything is locked. It takes a while to unlock a door, an elderly person's house. Did you know it also takes them a long time to get to the door? There's got to be some patience in this thing. Knock on the door, wait a little bit, knock on the door. You got to keep knocking. You got to keep knocking. Because what you're saying, what we're doing is we're saying that it's in there. What I want is in, I want a door to open to me. I want a door to open to me. There's a few doors right now I'm looking at right now because I'm looking at it for some ministry things. I'm looking for some other things, but you can only walk through one door at a time. Amen? And because next thing you know, you're just like all over the place and you kind of get lost, right? So, you know, have you ever been to like Cedar Point had this one thing one time. Actually, it wasn't Cedar Point, I think it was Kings Island. That was a long, many years ago, but it's one of the most, you walk in this kind of fun house thing and there's like four or five doors in front of you. And you're like, what? Okay, what they're saying is you got to pick a door. If you want to get out of here, out of this crazy fun house, you got to pick the right door. If you pick the wrong door and you go in, sometimes the door will shut on you and you can't get out. It's kind of one of them trick doors. You go into another door and there's just actually bricks there. You're not getting anywhere. You go into another door and the whole thing shifts and moves. And the next thing you know, you're kind of in a maze. And then there's a door like it gets you out. I think sometimes we get into one of those doors. We get in and we get confused. We get frustrated. Because it didn't work out the way that we wanted to. This is the door that I want. I don't care. I'm going through this door, and it's not meant to go through. And we never get to the door that we're supposed to. We got to be able to be who we are called to be. God knows who you are. He knows your name. He knows when you were born, and He knows when you're going to die. He knows who's going to. I believe God knows who's going to attend your funeral. I believe God knows more about you than you do yourself. Amen? I think God knows more about me than I can ever figure out in 10 lifetimes, 100 lifetimes about myself. So I'm going to let God be God in my life, and I'm going to let me be just be a little minion. And I want to follow Him, and I want to listen to His words. And sometimes I don't always like His words, but the Bible says God disciplines those whom He loves, so it's got to be a little discipline going on because they don't always keep it straight. But I got a race to run. Sometimes I don't know which lane to get into. Sometimes you want to pass. Somebody in front of you is too slow. You want to pass. It's time to get into the passing lane. Sometimes it's time to get into the slow lane. Sometimes in NASCAR, it's time to get into the pit stops. You got to get in the right lane. Sometimes we don't even know what lane to get into. But when we keep searching, we keep asking, and we keep knocking on the door, we got to listen the whole time, whether we're asking or whether we're searching or knocking on the door. We got to listen to this voice that we have. Did you know that lost people don't know that voice? This is how powerful, this is how awesome that a Christian's life should be. They don't know that voice. They never hear that voice. The only time they hear it as a lost person is they need to come to Jesus. That's it. That's the first thing. But us as Christians, we've done past that lap. We've asked Jesus into our heart. Well, that lap is in the past. That experience is an eternal experience. But we as Christians, there's a voice that we should know. You know why we don't know it? So you say, I never heard it. I don't know. Because we're over here. And when we're over here in this junk pile with this rock, the only thing we're going to hear over here from the Lord is conviction. The Holy Spirit's going to allow conviction to weigh heavy on our hearts until we want to get away from it. Until we deal with it. And again, we seek forgiveness. We walk away from it. Now I want to hear the Holy Spirit. Some of us say, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. God's told me to do this. You know what? A lot of people that are living over there say that. Listen. If you hear, I believe this. If you hear someone that's living in sin, right out living in sin. And they told him that God told him to do these certain things and all these other things. It usually lines up with their sin. Did you know that? God didn't tell them to do that. I've heard people tell me that living together was okay. God told them to live together. Sin makes you stupid. Sin is stupid. But as a Christian, there's a voice that when we are walking in the lane that God wants, there's a voice that just comes in and we can hear it. If we shut up a little bit in our prayer life, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. People say, what does that mean, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? It means shut up sometimes. When you speak, let the conversation, have you ever been in a conversation where someone just takes over the whole conversation and talks the whole time? That's what we do in prayer life. Jesus, amen. And we walk away and we're like, wow, the Lord, did he really get a word in edgewise? And we go back up. Oh, it's time to pray again, Lord. Amen. And we walk away. It's like, wow, what kind of conversation is that? Conversation is supposed to be two-way, right? If it's one way, then you're just giving instruction. That's what we do. But if you stop and you say, Lord, I'm knocking on this door and I don't understand why these things are happening. And I really need this door to be open. Am I standing at the right door? Stop. Silence can be powerful. Quiet moments can be more powerful than speaking moments. Amen? It says, to be still and know that I am God. It's nice to be still. You went to the doctor, and the doctor's getting ready to give you the equation of what kind of sickness you have. You know what you do when that happens? You stop and you listen, don't you? I want to hear what the doctor says that I have. I want to hear the doctor tell me what prescriptions he's going to give to me. I want to hear what the instructions are on those prescriptions, because I don't want to mess up. That's the way it is when we go see the Lord. We need to stop. Listen to what he says. Be still. Give that moment of silence. Get up. Conclude your prayer. Get off and do about your business. Stay in the right lane. Keep doing it. And you get back to that moment of praying, saying, Lord, I'm struggling today. That door I really need open, or that door I need to really close. I'm not sure whether you want me to do this or not. How many of y'all ever had that discussion with the Lord? I'm not sure if you want me to do this, Lord. I'm not sure if you don't want me to do this. Most of us have, all right? You got to let the Lord speak. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because he says this, and if you don't get it in that moment, it's okay. Because the time, sometimes the thing is right, but it's the wrong timing. But between now and then, you keep being faithful. You keep asking, you keep searching, and you keep knocking. Okay? You do those things, all right? Because this is what he says. For everyone who asks, receives. You know that in alone should cause us to have a lot of, like tonight we have a lot of prayers for other people, and that's great for health. But all the things, you know, there's things that I ask for, and the Bible says this right here, everyone who asks receives. Those should be times of testimony, amen? Church should be filled with testimonies. I believe every church should be able to allow their congregation to give testimony. Because the Bible tells us we ought to give testimony. But we're so caught up in making sure every A to Z and everything is in the right place, because people have their things up on this so-called stage, this podium that we're supposed to do. But you know what? Wouldn't it be amazing if I come up here and say, you know, I got this message to preach, but you know what? And all of a sudden we just went off in a big hallelujah moment. And if it was a Sunday night and we had so many prayer and testimonies and amens and thank you, Jesus, that I didn't have to preach. You know what? That would preach itself. Amen? That would preach itself. Giving glory to God. Not by one man preaching with the power of the Holy Spirit, not just singing and lifting. Those are great things. But for a group of people to confess who Jesus is and how powerful he is and the things that he has done in their life, wouldn't that be amazing to hear a whole night like that? Let me tell you, you can't plan that night. People got to come right. I would love to see that. He says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. I believe that happens when you're on the right side of the tracks. Amen? You know what? I'm going to hear from God. That's what it says. You're going to hear from God. Have you all heard from God lately? Have you all heard from the Holy Spirit? We ought to be able to say, man, I heard the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit spoke to me through some word the other day. Man, I was kind of down and depressed, but God encouraged me up. I was so filled, I was excited. I was walking low in the valley, and the next thing I was reading the scriptures, and man, I was high on the mountain. Only God can do that, amen? Only God can do that. But you got to be right with God. You got to make sure your life is right. Not over in that junk, but over here, not on the left, but on the right, okay? Then he goes on, he says, now, what father among you, if a son asks for fish, would give him a snake instead of a fish, being that God wants to give you good things? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give you a scorpion. If you then, who are evil, and we are, did you know we are? You know what it says over here? Let me just show you. I'm just flip over here something. In verse 29, it says, this is amazing. As the crowds were increasing, he began saying, this generation is an evil generation. What? What Jesus was saying, the church crowd is getting bigger, and Jesus says, this is an evil generation. You know how many pastors would be so excited? Wow, look how many people we got. And Jesus says, this is an evil generation. It's amazing how Jesus just puts it right out there, doesn't it? It's amazing how he does that. So, he goes on. Well, I'm all over the place here. I flipped my page. Okay, so he goes on, he says, if you then, in verse 13, says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, right? That's what he says. Evil people, lost people, know how to give good gifts to their children, and they do. He says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It means the salvation. And when we ask for salvation, then we receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, when you receive the Holy Spirit, and I know I'm using some movie stuff tonight, but if you've ever seen The Matrix, I believe that is so right down the pipe. If you want to know the truth, take the green pill. If you want to know the truth, or you don't, and you want to stay in the world of make-believe, everything is all great, then you take the red pill. And I think I just switched them. If you Matrix fans know that. But he says, I want to know. He took it. Did you know there was a process for him when he took that? All those things popped off of him, if you know what I'm talking about. And then he became in reality, and he began to see the world for the first time. Did you know when you become a Christian, your eyes are open, and it doesn't take long. And then as you have the Holy Spirit, it begins to reveal to you that what you see is not the way the world sees everything. You walk down the street. Just listen to me. You're walking down the street. Everyday street. I'm walking downtown. I'm going to run over there, and I'm going to ask the Metronet, now, why is our bill so high? So I'm going to walk over there, right? And I might walk past 10 people. And as a Christian, you are the most powerful human being on the face of the earth. You are the most powerful being on the face of the earth when it comes to the creation. Because God's Spirit as a Christian is inside of you. When you walk down the street, I believe if you're living on the right side of the tracks, I believe you have a prayer life, you have a worship life, you have those things. I believe that demons cringe when you walk down the street. And you're just walking down the street. Not like everybody else. Because when I'm walking down the street, I want to tell you what I'm doing. I'm walking down the street, I might see somebody wave, but in my spirit, I'm praying as I walk down there, usually every time. Lord, Father, I just ask you to continue to be up in this city. This city is full of darkness. Lord, this city needs Jesus. This city needs you. Give us a heart, those who know you, to be strong in the Spirit. Lord, I ask that your Spirit would cover this city. Lord, push back the darkness. Let the light shine through your people. And so you begin to be searching. You begin to ask. You begin to knock on the doors. I'm telling you, when you're walking down the street, just a basic walk, if you're not thinking about just the worldly things, but you're starting to think as a Christian should, I'm telling you, you're the most powerful thing. You're the most powerful thing in the city. And this is the fear that Satan has, that you will realize one day who's really living inside of you. And if you would know who lives inside of you, the power that resists, the power that God has put in you, once you realize what power is in you, you become this most powerful force. And when you ask God for something, and you claim his word, you say, Lord, your word tells me that if I ask, I'm to keep on asking, your word tells me that I will receive. and you believe that, you can move mountains. Amen? You walk out of here tonight, you are one of the most powerful beings in the face of the earth. And it's not because of who you are, it's because of who's inside of you. Man, you can move mountains if you know who Jesus is. And you got His Spirit inside of you. There's nothing that can harm you. Amen? There's nothing that can harm you. Tonight, people right now are watching TV. But listen, you're hearing the Word of God right now, and it's filling you up. It ought to empower you. It ought to empower you to be the man, the woman that God's called you to be. You ought to be prayer warriors. Prayer warriors. Asking, searching, knocking, without ceasing. And when you finally lay rest, you go, I am finished. Because I'm exhausted as being a Christian in the world. Because I'm done. I worked it all out and I finished my race. But right now you're still running your race and you need to finish it and you need to run it well. Don't stop asking. Don't stop searching. Don't stop knocking on the door. He wants you to have those things. But if you don't ask, James tells us, we don't ask, we don't receive. Don't think God's just going to come up there and give it to you, because you got some things to learn. You got to learn who your Father is. You got to learn who your Savior is. You got to learn how that Holy Spirit, God's Spirit works. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, this time next year, I ought to be a stronger Christian than I was right now. Not in the worst case. Not missing church, not missing my prayer life, not missing things, not missing my giving. I ought to be stronger next year than I am this year. And the year after that, if I'm walking on this, I ought to be stronger in 2018 than I was in 2017. I ought to get stronger as I go, not weaker. Amen? I ought to be stronger. I'm telling you, when you start praying and you know who you're praying to, man, you better look out. You better make sure you're praying for the right things. Because God is a giver. God is a giver. God loves to give. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is keep searching. All you got to do is keep knocking. His eyes are on you. His Spirit is in you. Don't ever say you're lost. I don't know where I'm at in my walk with God. I don't know. No, no. God knows where you're at. You're going to have moments like John the Baptist. Was he really the one? You're going to have those moments, but it's going to come back to you. He's like, no, yes, yes, he is. You're going to have those moments. But even through that, he never left God, did he? Having a few questions doesn't mean that we leave God. It doesn't mean we stray from God when we struggle with a question or two. That's why he says keep searching. But if we wander over here, that searching and knocking and asking, that door's shutting until you do one thing. You confess your sin. For you young people, I know sometimes you hear a lot of God, you hear a lot of preaching, you get into a lot of Bible study, and you go, I don't know, I haven't heard God speak to me. I don't know. It's kind of like, you know what, you just need to keep doing it. God's watching your faithfulness. God has a plan for you, and He doesn't want to reveal it to you right now because a lot of times you just couldn't handle it. Amen? Sometimes you just can't handle it. It's too big right now. But 4 or 5 years down the road, it's going to be okay. It's going to be a little easier for you, and the door's going to open then, but not now. But what do you do in between now and then? You stay faithful. You keep faithful to Him. You begin to understand who He is in that relationship. Someone asked you tonight, how many of you need to ask Jesus for something? How many of you are searching for something and you can't get there, you can't find it, but you know what you do? You go to Him. How many of y'all need to ask Jesus to maybe end the search? Say, Lord, I'm searching. Will you show me what this piece is? I know what I'm looking for, but I just don't know how to get there. How many of you are knocking on the door, or trying to close the door, open the door, but right now every key that you've tried has never worked. It's not working. It's the wrong key. I want to tell you, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is the key. Quit doing it in your own strength. Quit doing it for your own purposes. Do it because you know that that's what God has called you to do. You do it because you know that in the Spirit it is right. Maybe it is to lock the key. Or it is to unlock the key. Unlock the door. I don't know if you're trying to ask. I don't know if you're searching. I don't know if you're trying to knock. But in all those cases, Jesus says, don't stop. Don't stop. There's an answer. The Bible says, do not go weary in doing good, for in due time you will reap a harvest. Amen? I think getting through the right door is a harvest. I think that's reaping a harvest. I think an answered prayer is reaping a harvest. I think you finding what you're searching for, hey, I think that's reaping a harvest. Amen? Quit thinking God is so far away in some galaxy land that he doesn't know what's going on. Let me tell you, he knows what's going on. We need to trust him. Amen? So let's go ahead and stand. I want to give you the opportunity tonight that if you want to come and you want to ask Jesus,